T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Happy Friday out there, March 22nd, 2024, and welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning929. Connor, what's the word, brother?
What's up, man?
How's it going? We have a feature, too, today.
We have a third co-host.
Yes,
today.
We're featuring Memphis.
The dog is in the building.
Yes. How's he doing?
I know he's doing a lot better.
He's had some health issues.
It's been a pretty scary week with his health, but the people over at Kelsey K9 took care of us, and he's all right.
He seems in good spirits now.
He's in great spirits, but I've got to keep an eye on him. So he's in studio with us today.
I hear you. But we have 2.5 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. Gonna open on where we take solace from last night here in Memphis. You know, Tigers missed out on the tournament, but we definitely take solace in the fact that Kentucky goes down to another double-digit seed. And John Calipari, Kentucky fans, they are in shock, in shambles as well. I don't know how that happened last night. I do know that Jack Golkey is an absolute legend from Oakland, and this is not Oakland, California. This is Michigan, okay, just so we're clear. But a D2 transfer from Hillsdale College, fifth-year D2 transfer, is the difference in beating the mighty Kentucky Wildcats. How about that? That's absolutely phenomenal. But we'll also have NCAA tournament updates and everything throughout the day. I do need to talk about officiating as well. Last night in that Kansas-Samford game, I'm very disappointed. I'm very, very disappointed in the officiating we've seen thus far. And that call at the end of the game that cost Samford a chance to win, it was sad. It was disgusting. It was an awful call. It was a predetermined call. It was a clean block that ultimately gave Kansas the chance to run away with it and hide. And I'm just very disappointed, but I'll talk about some of the things that we could do to actually fix that, Also, SEC, 1-3 in the tournament so far, and they did not have a good first day. Obviously, Kentucky losing to Oakland, Mississippi State got absolutely hammered by Michigan State, whatever. This does bring me back to the tournament expansion conversation that Greg Sankey wanted to bring up. He basically said that all these automatic qualifiers for these smaller schools, you know, we're giving away highly competitive opportunities for automatic qualifiers. And I think the pressure is going to rise as we have more competitive basketball leagues at the top end because of conference expansion. Well, I guess I see exactly why he doesn't want to play mid-majors. He doesn't want to play these small schools because ultimately Kentucky loses them. But, hey, we'll get to that. And also, Fran Fraschilla had a very interesting thought on expansion. It feels like we're headed to expansion, even though I disagree with it. But he gave a interesting expansion idea that I think we need to discuss. Also, we'll talk some Tigers basketball. Jalen Young in the transfer portal. Who's actually going to come back? Who's not going to come back? We'll hammer that out for you. As far as guests are concerned, at 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join from Daily Memphian and Jeff Calkins' show. We don't know if he'll be in studio or he'll be on the phone because he did drop his phone in the toilet a couple days ago, but we'll see what happens there. We'll talk some Grizzlies along the way as well, and at 6 o'clock, Rob Fisher will join. He's from Grizzlies on Bally. You know him, pre and post. Got the great shoes, got the great fits when he is doing sideline reporting for the Grizzlies on Bally. And then at about 6:30, we'll pass you off to Gary Darby for Grizzlies at Spurs. We get to see Victor Wembanyama, but G.G. Jackson, the traveling G.G. Jackson show, will take their talents on the road against the Spurs, who they have owned. They have absolutely owned. They've won their last 12 games against the Spurs. Do you know that?
The Grizzlies?
Yeah.
What? Won the last 12 games against it. What?
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
That's insane.
It's kind of nuts when you think about it. Now, I have to start with Kentucky losing to Oakland 80-76. Now, in the first half, watching Jack Golke was very impressive. He had 20-plus points, and he was just an absolute flamethrower. He couldn't miss. And he ended the game with 32 points against the mighty Kentucky Wildcats. And it's just amazing to me. When you look at what he has accomplished this year, it's funny to see where his shots come from. He had a total going into that game of 335 total field goals attempted. 327 of them were from the three-point line. He's only taken 8 two-point attempts the entire year. And then last night, Legend. He goes 10 for 19 from the field, 10 for 19 from three, did not take a single two-pointer. So now, of his 354 field goal attempts, 346 of them have been from behind the arc. And he was absolutely on fire. He actually missed the single-game three-point record by one. He could have tied it last night if he had one more drop. But it's awesome to see Oakland get over Kentucky. Greg Campy, their coach, he started there 40 years ago. 40 freaking years ago. He is the longest tenured coach in D1 right now, and he also saw a transition from D2 to D1 for that Oakland program. I do want to do this, though. Jack Golke, after the game, he made it very clear they are not a Cinderella.
40 years in, you just pulled off the greatest upset in this program's history. How'd you do it?
This guy right here, he had no conscience. We talked all week. Just go shoot it, baby. You're the best. And he's the best, and he proved it to the world tonight. I said this is what we wanted, this stage. We wanted Kentucky because they're the best, you know, they're the best. So we wanted that, and we wanted the stage, and our kids came through. We win all close games. We win all close games. You heard the huddle, right? That's all we said in the huddle. We win close games. When you got great kids with great character, that's how you win close games.
Why was this team the team that was able to pull off this type of win?
We've been so close over the years. This is our 14th Power 5 win, but it's the first in this atmosphere in such an important situation. So I'm so happy for my president, my AD, and our university. What this means to our university, you know, it's just unbelievable. And I'm happy for my players.
Jack, you just experienced something any basketball player would dream of. What's going through your mind when you catch fire?
I mean, it's just something I've worked so hard for my whole career, and coach just instills the confidence in me, gives me the freedom to go out there and play and influence the game in a positive way, and, you know, I'm just having fun. We have a tremendous crowd, tremendous stage. Like you said, it's a dream. This is why players work so hard to get to this stage.
What makes this team special?
Like coach said, from the first day we got here in June, we just bonded. We said we're going to love each other. We're going to trust each other. And even today, we made a lot of stupid plays. We missed a lot of free throws. I messed up on defense sometimes. We picked each other up every single time. And that's why we're going to keep winning some games.
Do you have anything left in that right arm?
Hey, I got 2 days to get, or 1 day to get it back, and we'll be firing again.
Coach, what's the message as this team now advances in the NCAA tournament for what's ahead?
All right, we're going to enjoy about 45 minutes of this. Now, we're going to get ready because we got a chance of a lifetime. This isn't the end of it, you know. This is not the end of it. We've got more, and the only way we're going to win Saturday is to stay focused and take them one at a time. And we're going to do that.
Coach, Jack, we appreciate the show, guys. Go enjoy it.
Appreciate it. We're not a Cinderella.
He said they are not a Cinderella. And honestly, the way that game paced, I kind of buy it. Considering what he was able to do from the three-point line and handling Kentucky, it was absolutely phenomenal. But then after the game, like, you have to ask yourself the question about Oakland going in to play Kentucky. Like, how do you – this is a D2 transfer in his fifth year from Hillsdale College. And for the first 2 years of his career, he only averaged 5 minutes per game at Hillsdale College. And you have to ask yourself, you're going against Kentucky, you're going against, you know, Antonio Reeves and Rob Dillingham and DJ Wagner, and you're going against Reed Shepard, a lot of guys that are considered to be at the top of the NBA draft next year. So they asked him this question sort of after the game, Jack Golke, and I thought his response was very good.
Obviously, we come in, we're the underdog by all measures, but you just got to, as a player, you can't think that way. You got to go out there and you got to think that you have the same talent level as them. I know they have draft picks, and I know I'm not going to the NBA, but I know on any given night I can compete with those type of guys, and our team can compete with those type of guys. And that's why I was so confident going into it, and that's why I say we're not a Cinderella, because when we play our A game, we can be the best team on the floor.
Yeah, no, he's very confident. But that's the thing. You can't have that mindset. You can't get caught in the moment. And I will say this about Kentucky. I thought they got caught in the moment. They did not really like the bright lights at the end of that game. And it does show when it comes to Calipari coach teams with all the young guys that they have that they bring in. When the moment gets tough, when you really have to get a bucket, when you really have to lock down on the defensive end, freshmen can play dumb basketball. And you consistently saw that down the stretch of that game. Now, on to Kentucky and Cal. What does this mean for him? I don't know. I think that there's a lot of Kentucky fans that want him out, that are annoyed with the situation. When we look at his history, his recent history in the NCAA tournament, in 2021, he missed the NCAA tournament. 2022, lost to St. Peter's in the first round as a 2 seed. 2023, lost to Kansas State in the round of 32. That's not as bad as the other sort of losses. But then this year, loses to a 14 seed in Oakland because Jack Golke absolutely goes nuts. And then the list of coaches, this is kind of funny, with more tournament wins since the pandemic hit. Wayne Tinkle, Paul Mills, Mark Adams, Mike Bray, Johnny Jones, Rodney Terry, Mitch Henderson, Tobin Anderson at Fairleigh Dickinson, right? And then you go and look at teams since the pandemic that have more tournament wins than Kentucky. You know who's on that list that has two and Kentucky has one? Fairleigh Dickinson and Oral Roberts have two wins while Kentucky has one in the NCAA tournament since the pandemic hit. So you just have to ask yourself the question, what is going on with John Calipari and what's going on with Kentucky? They play decent during the year. Obviously, there's always a meshing point where they have a bunch of young guys that they have to bring together. By the time they get to the NCAA tournament, though, they've been falling short. Now, for the Kentucky fans that are hitting the message boards and going nuts right now and want him out, I do have to advise against that, at least at the time being. If you look at his buyout for the next 2 years, it is not something that you want to pay a college basketball coach to try to fire him. Now, we know he had the lifetime contract. You know, year by year, he gets re-upped, the whole thing. But this year, if they were to fire him, $33 million buyout. Next year, if they were to get rid of him, $27 million buyout. So it's going to be really hard to get rid of John Calipari in this current state. Now, I do think that it's a little overblown. We'll see what he does next year. He still recruits well, and they play well for a majority of the year, but they have just fallen short in the NCAA tournament. I think they can right their wrongs, but there's a trend developing, and it's a trend that if you're at Kentucky, you don't want to ultimately happen. Now, I think it's kind of funny. After the game, John Calipari was stepping up to the mic and doing his press availability, and he really stole Penny's whole flow, didn't he? He really stole Penny's whole flow. They asked him, what happened tonight on the floor? How did you lose that game? He said, I don't know. You need to ask these guys. The exact sort of thing there. And then I also was kind of taken aback when he was talking about his team and why they lost the game and the reasons for their early exit. He used a lot of they, talking about his team. They didn't execute. They didn't make things happen. They played like young guys, the young guys they are. He barely used the word we. And I think this is sort of in the John Calipari playbook. And he's also just consistently, even in a loss, like he can't turn that salesman thing off. He's always trying to sell himself. He's always trying to make himself look better on the back end, even with an early exit. But that was phenomenal last night, ultimately. That was so fun to watch.
It was very fun to watch. It's always fun to watch Kentucky go down. We're never going to get over it. I saw a stat out there. I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but I saw that Jack Golke only dribbled like three times.
He had three dribbles the entire night. That is a fact. That is a fact.
Just an absolutely legendary performance. And, beware of the communication whites in March Madness.
Did you see also today they were doing their shoot around, his full court shot?
It probably went in, yeah.
He threw it up with one hand and he knocked it down.
I bet he almost wishes he was playing today.
Jack Golke is
rolling.
This is part of like the reason when you hear Greg Sankey talk about, you know, mid majors and like these one bid leagues, and you know, you're stealing bids from some teams in the power conferences that should be there. This is why I think it just rings. It's so hollow. It's just not. It's not a real thing, because these are the stories we actually latch onto in the NCAA tournament.
It's the reason the tournament is so exciting.
That's why we love it.
Yes, 100,000%.
And for him to continue that sort of thought process when his teams so far this year are 1-3 in the tournament and have a loss to Oakland, which was from a one-bid league, it's just like, dude, you need to get over yourself. And I think we're going to get to expansion regardless, just because it feels like we have too many power brokers that are going to push for it. But at the same time, for him to down these small schools and then lose to them on the back end, it makes him look ridiculous. And I really wanted, last night after that game, I don't know where he was, but I wanted a microphone in front of his face immediately to see his response to Oakland taking down Kentucky. Now, also last night we had Kansas versus Samford. And Samford was down pretty substantially. They were down by 10 at half, and they brought it back. It was pretty impressive. Kansas ended up winning 93-89. But Bucky McMillan, man, what's he, 6 years in now at Samford? Bucky Ball is impressive. It's impressive as hell. The great effort, awesome execution. They pressure on every single made basket. They ended up turning over Kansas 17 times last night. They did what they do at Samford to Kansas basketball. Bill Self. And Bill Self, after the game, he even gave Bucky McMillan a whole lot of credit. He said, quote, "That's my first experience with Bucky Ball. I just assume not play against it in a while." And I completely understand it. And then there was also, like, good out-of-bounds execution late in that game. There was a Jaden Campbell three for Samford. There was great movement off ball. I love how they play, and they're very damn impressive. Now, really what this game boiled down to, though, is a bad call. There was a late call on a chase down block. A.J. Staten McCray, he couldn't have caught the Nick Timberlake dunk attempt any cleaner. No body contact, no contact on the wrist or forearm. Caught the ball and did not touch Nick Timberlake any further than that. And it's really frustrating because I think the official, as soon as he saw it was a chase down situation, I think he predetermined the call. He figured he has to foul him. Nick Timberlake has way too much of a breakaway lead on him. There's got to be a foul on this. And he calls it anyway. And obviously we don't have reviews in college basketball. We don't have challenges. So ultimately Nick Timberlake gets it, knocks down two free throws, and it takes Samford out of the game, and they don't get an opportunity. And with how many reviews come natural in college basketball, there ought to be a coach's challenge. I mean, I don't know if you stayed up watching that game last night or watching several games yesterday, how long they go because of all the reviews. With how many reviews we have, there ought to be some type of challenge, some type of review system, like in the NBA for big calls like that, because that call cost Samford a real opportunity to go break Kansas's back. And it's heartbreaking to me, because those two teams last night, especially with Kevin McCullough out for Kansas, that was a really good matchup. Like, during upset opportunities, when you see a lower-seeded team try to go beat the likes of Kansas or Kentucky, whatever it is, you usually see low seeds get up early, and, you know, they come out with their hair on fire in the first half, and then ultimately in the second half, the talent wears on them, and they lose the lead. Samford was the team that had to claw back in that game, down 10. They weren't even close to outclassed in that particular situation. It just breaks my heart that a miscall like that, that seems so easily reviewable, cost Samford a real opportunity to make magic in the NCAA tournament. Those are the type of storylines we run to, that we gravitate toward, and they were robbed because of a ridiculous, ridiculous call, a complete miscall, a predetermined call by an official who just sort of was asleep at the wheel, in my opinion.
He absolutely determined that he was going to call a foul before before the play happened. Officiating in college basketball and the NBA has been a huge issue this year. It is getting worse, and it's getting worse quickly. We have got to start holding these referees more accountable. Have to. They have real impact on games. I'm tired of hearing people say, you do not lose games because of the ref. Sometimes you do. Sometimes they absolutely directly impact you losing a basketball game or taking away a chance for you to win a basketball game. And that's what happened last night. It's quite ridiculous, too, that they spent all the time around the monitors after that happened, and they aren't able to review it, so they just had to replay over and over and over and over again, them missing the call, but they can't overturn it, and they have to enforce the missed call. Absolutely mind-boggling that that was allowed to happen. It has got to change. How is there not a review within the final? Like, when a bang-bang play like that happens in such a huge moment, you should be able to make sure you're getting it right. And the fact that there wasn't an even opportunity to do that means something is wrong.
They do it at the next level, by the way. They do it in the NBA.
And then it's shrug your shoulders. Sorry. It's like, no, you took away this opportunity from a team. Yeah, Miff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You took away an opportunity. Yes, they took away an opportunity from a team that might not get there.
It's foolish to me that they don't have a coach's challenge. Just one, something like that, maybe one per half. Find a way to be able to review things like this. It was an obvious miscall. And we do it at the NBA level. We get to review these things, and we get to reverse them. And even if there's not a coach's challenge, you should be able to go reverse it when you go to the monitor after the damn play. Because they spent all the time looking at the time left on the clock and all this nonsense. And you should be able to then go in while you're watching that play and reverse the stupid call and mistake that you just made.
What do you think they're whispering to each other while that's happening? Are they like, we blew it? Like,
they absolutely blew it.
And it's just, it bothers me, too, that people are like, well, it's part of the game. Why is it part of the game? Why does that have to be part of the game? It's stupid.
It's just frustrating to me. Like, the call
they're way too protected. I'm just being able to go, sorry.
The call in itself, though, what bothers me so much is how predetermined it was. He just saw Nick Timberlake streaking down the floor and just assumed there had to be a foul if he was going to stop him.
It's about the cleanest block you could possibly have on a fast break dunk.
He did not touch any part of his body.
I thought he was at least going to graze his head. Nope. Missed it.
I mean, live when Nick Timberlake falls, you think, oh, maybe there's a foul. They review it, and it is as clean as clean could be. It's like not even remotely close. No body contact, no hand contact. You got to be able to review that and reverse it in that moment. And to see a freaking 13 seed who played their ass off, who deserved to be on the same floor as Kansas last night, completely get their, you know, their chance ripped away from them.
Right.
Because of that? No, man. We need to review. We need to get into this offseason, and there needs to be some type of coach's challenge or some type of review system that can get these damn calls right.
It had to be heartbreaking for Samford to have to watch that replay over and over. And everybody in the arena and everybody in the country was like, that's a blown call, and nothing could be done?
Even though they're at the table.
How silly is that?
Even though they're at the table looking at the play.
That's so stupid. Everyone really in the country with eyeballs was like, that was a blown call.
Yeah.
And they could not overturn it.
Yep.
How silly.
Now, sidebar, this is not original, an original idea by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's worth the words. You know, like what makes the tournament great, though, and this was me just sort of watching the broadcast of the Kentucky game when they fell and then watching Samford almost pull off the upset against Kansas. Seeing, like, the neutral sites, the folks in Salt Lake City, that's where the Kansas game was, the folks in Pittsburgh, that's where the Kentucky game was. They may be outnumbered by the particular fan base, Kansas or Kentucky. But if you have eight programs, fans in one spot, the energy for the upset is felt through the broadcast. Like, that's one of the biggest things that makes me latch on to the telecast of the NCAA tournament. The energy is so palpable, you can feel it. It's gorgeous.
The NCAA tournament last night lived up to the hype once again. Every single year, you're like, man, is it going to be as good as last year? And then every single year, something happens, and you're like, yeah, this thing hits every single year. And the pageantry is without a doubt the best part of it. And that's why, you know, Greg Sankey and his comments about stuff, it's just like those smaller schools and mid-majors being in this tournament, having opportunities to have upsets like Oakland did, and even Samford being in that game right at the end. It's what makes the tournament special, especially the first few days. You cannot mess with it. It's just, I do not understand why in college sports right now, I mean, I understand why. It's all about money. I get that. But it's just they keep messing with things that don't need to be fixed or changed,
yep.
And it's taking away some of the passion and love for college sports. Like today, there's a whole conversation about, well, you're not a real fan if you just tune in for the tournament. Get out of here with that crap. That stuff is ridiculous to me. If people want to tune in to the NCAA tournament because it's so much fun and there's pageantry and passion and that's what brings them to it, let that happen. I don't understand this gatekeeping with college basketball and then trying to change it. Just keep it as is. It doesn't need a change right now.
Yeah, and we will discuss it here in just a moment. I'll get to Fran Fraschilla, who obviously longtime analyst for ESPN and coached way back in the day. He has an expansion idea because I feel like he just knows what's coming, and he knows what these big power brokers and conference commissioners want. So he's trying to sort of put something out there, plant a seed. We'll discuss it in a moment. Now, as far as day two of the round of 64, we have some finals. Marquette got over top of Western Kentucky, although Western Kentucky was putting it on them early. But Marquette took off late in that game. San Diego State got over top of UAB. It was very close for a long, long time, but it was 69-65 at the end. Jaden Ledee, my gosh, man, 32-8. He was phenomenal, phenomenal. He got to the free throw line 10 times and converted 9 of them. Looks like we have a final now here in Memphis. We have Clemson over New Mexico, 77-56. UConn got over top of Stetson. That was very, very simple. Baylor over top of Colgate, 92-67. Northwestern beat FAU. This was an interesting one, in my opinion. Florida Atlantic had a chance. It was 58-58 at the end of regulation. And John L. Davis was, there were 6 seconds on the clock when he got the ball. And he was playing around and going slow with it and trying to do some dribble moves. He ultimately got blocked at the buzzer. And then in overtime, you had Ryan Langborg. I think that's how you pronounce his name, Ryan Langborg. He had 12 points in overtime, and Northwestern cruised, won by 12 after the overtime period. They won the overtime period 19-7. So Florida Atlantic, after last year getting to the Final Four, the high hopes going into this year, preseason top 10, preseason number 10 in the AP poll, they lose in the first round. Now, in the end of the day, they still have been 60-13 in the last 2 years, and you have to give a whole lot of credit to Dusty May. But this could be sort of the end of the end of the start of the building of that program, because now Dusty May, he's probably going to leave. He's probably going to say bye. I mean, you got Louisville out there that will likely be on the table for him. But FAU, man, it's just, I have fought against all year, like the people that say they drastically underachieved. I thought they were always overrated. I thought what they did in the tournament last year was overhyped. But at the same time, out in the first round, that's not where they expected to be. And quite frankly, I thought they were overseeded in general. As an 8 seed, I thought that was pretty insane. Now we have some games going on live. We have Florida and Colorado tied 45-45 at half, and then Auburn and Yale at halftime. Yale's sticking in there 41-35, but we'll keep updates coming as the show goes along. Now we're in the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, and we're live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. And Service Master by Cornerstone, they're your local hometown responder. When disaster strikes, you need to go ahead and call them. They're the largest franchise in a 600-mile radius, but they're also the best at what they do. They've been awarded Service Master's Franchise of the Year Award, meaning they're the number one Service Master Restore franchise in the United States of America. And they're the absolute best at solving problems of a disastrous nature. And I hope these things don't happen to you, but they happen. You could have storm damage. Connor had to deal with that at the end of last year. You could have mold that you need mold remediation for. You could have a fire and there's smoke damage. It could be anything that, big or small, affects you and your home. Make sure you call Service Master by Cornerstone if that happens. Tyler, the president and owner of Service Master, and his team are here to help you at these moments, and they have a great motto. Their motto is, we don't pray for disaster, but we do pray that we get called when there is one. So remember the name, locally owned, locally operated, Service Master by Cornerstone. And because they respond so well and they respond with pride, that is their number. 901-RESPOND, 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 for my good friends at Service Master by Cornerstone. Now we need to talk expansion, Greg Sankey, and also Fran Fraschilla has an interesting idea on ways to expand the tournament if we do go down this path. We'll do that next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Back rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Now, we are watching day two of the round of 64, round one. And UConn did beat Stetson. They just put the finishing touches on them, 91-52. They ended up winning by 39 points. Now, they were up by 33 points at halftime, and it's actually a record for them in the NCAA tournament to be up by that many points. It's a school record to be up by 33 points at half in the NCAA tournament. It's funny, though, because we know Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley is a wild boy. I mean, he's absolutely insane. If you see him coaching on the sideline, he loses his head several times throughout the entirety of a game. But at halftime, when they're up by 33 points, he sort of lit into his team with his halftime comments. This is what he had to say, up by 33 at half against Stetson.
Over to Tracy.
Coach, you're shaking your head. What's wrong?
Everything should be automatic this time of year, and just, you know, defensively, it's human nature, I guess, but just to throttle down like that late, that's not championship level.
Well, what will be the sticking point in the locker room when you have a lead like this?
In this tournament, if you don't keep everything at the absolute highest level, like automatic, every possession, things go bad for you in this tournament. So, you know, we got to grow up a little bit. The last couple of minutes I didn't like.
Appreciate it. Typical.
Buddy, you're up by 33.
As soon as he started talking, the graphic said school record lead at halftime for conference tournament.
You're up by 33.
Like, we suck.
Yeah, he set the school record, and he's like, yeah, we just let our foot off the gas. I'm super disappointed in these guys. Everything's got to be good during the tournament. He's a tournament guy, not a tournament guy. He's a tournament guy. But good Lord. My guy, and you know what?
Automatic.
He has no chill, and like we could sit here and we could shame him for it, but that's also the reason UConn's very good.
Oh, it's awesome.
He holds them accountable every step of the way. That's who he is as a coach. And that's why they won a national championship, and they could repeat this year.
I mean, they look dominant today, dude.
Yeah.
Dominant.
Yeah. And that's what he has to say at halftime when they're up by 30.
During the first segment, you know, I was looking over because we have the games on in the studios, and I looked up, and they were doing a 360 lob to go up by 40, and I was like, oh, yeah, UConn's pretty good.
100%. Now, when it comes to the tournament, we could see changes here coming up soon. Now, it has to do with expansion, and we know what Greg Sankey and some of the power brokers in college athletics have had to say about it. Just 2 days ago, Greg Sankey said, we're giving away highly competitive opportunities for automatic qualifiers from smaller leagues, and I think that pressure is going to rise as we have more competitive basketball leagues at the top end because of conference expansion with Texas and Oklahoma going into the SEC and the Big Ten getting bigger. That's what he's trying to say. He wants the middle of the pack teams in his conference and in the Big Ten and in the bigger conferences to get in over some of the mid-majors and the smaller one-bid leagues. And I'll say this just in general when it comes to or tournament expansion, I am very anti-expansion. I've heard 96 teams thrown around, 82 teams thrown around. One, 68 teams make it into the field. Is that not enough? Like, that's just bare bones, 68 teams make it into the damn tournament. Is that not enough? And like, it sort of gets back to, like, the you know, when we talk about Hall of Fames and, like, guys getting into the MLB Hall of Fame that you don't think are worth it. Is it the Hall of Fame or is it the Hall of Very Good? That's what I think you're doing if you keep watering down the product and add more teams. And also, the biggest reason that I really reject this is because I know what the end result is for the bigger conferences. They want, one, more money, and they want more of their middle-of-the-pack teams getting into the field. And I reject that because I don't need to see Ole Miss in the damn field this year. That's who would have been sort of in this conversation if you expanded and got one more team in the SEC. I don't, in the Big Ten, I don't need to see a and by the way, Ole Miss was 7-11 in SEC play. I don't need to see Iowa and Indiana and teams like that out of the Big Ten get in. They were 500 in league play. And the reason I don't want to see it is because ultimately we've seen how they compete against the best teams in the country. We've seen how they compete, and they're 500 or they're below 500 when they compete against the best teams on their schedule. I don't need to see them get in there. I'd rather see teams that don't get this opportunity all the time play their way into the field and make something happen. So that's why I'm always going to reject the thought process behind expanding the NCAA tournament. It's good as is. 68 teams get in, and I don't need to see these middle-of-the-pack, mid, not very good, power conference teams get in. I've seen them play. They're not fun. They're not fun to watch. Now, I have sort of resigned myself to the fact that it's going to happen. When you have Greg Sankey speaking up on something like this, and, you know, Tony Petitti may follow suit, it just feels like they're planting the seeds, putting it in your head, hey, this is going to happen. And if they have their way, it will happen. And they hold all of the bargaining chips. They have the most money, and they can facilitate it if they want to. So he's planting those seeds. You know it's likely going to happen. Now, Fran Fraschilla, who's a college basketball analyst at ESPN, put out his expansion idea. I don't know if he's for expansion or against expansion, but he put it out there. He said three ways to improve March basketball. One, expand the NCAA tournament to 72 team with 32 automatic qualifiers. I don't know exactly how that would work because 32 automatic qualifiers, you sort of have to – who would be automatically qualifying? Would you have to win the regular season title and an automatic qualifier in the tournament for big conferences and just an AQ for the tournament for smaller teams? Whatever. And he said 24 seeded at-large teams and 16 at-large teams that play in the first eight on Tuesday and Wednesday. He said there will be no automatic qualifier for the first eight. He said the transfer portal also, this was, you know, what he added to it. Transfer portal will open 2 weeks after Selection Sunday. This gives time for teams, coaches and players to decompress. And then he did the NIT thing, play the entire 32-team NIT in Las Vegas over a nine-day period, beginning Tuesday after Selection Sunday, championship game held on Tuesday of the second week. Now, I do want to focus on expand the NCAA tournament to 72 teams with 32 automatic qualifiers, 24 seeded at-large teams, and 16 at-large teams that will play in the first eight. I guess if you're going to expand, I would rather err on the side of just four new teams. Right? Just adding four teams to the tournament as of right this second. My issue comes in is when you get to basically a 96, where you have the top 100 teams basically playing it out for the national championship. I just don't want to see this thing get so watered down to the point where we're watching these middling power conference teams who are just not very good, who are having off years. I don't want to see them play in there anymore. I don't need to have, you know, Iowa, like I mentioned. I don't need to have Indiana. I don't need to have Ole Miss in there when they don't, quite frankly, deserve it. I mean, we had a team in a mid-major conference this year get left out when, in reality, in Indiana State, they should have been in. We already sort of lean the way of power conference teams right this second with a 68-team field. It'll just continue to accentuate and perpetuate that if we expand to 72, 82, 96. I don't want to expand, but if we're going to expand, I would actually lean Fran Fraschilla's way. Let's not expand by that much. Let's add four new teams and move on with our lives.
Yeah, it's you have to keep it special. It should still be a special thing that you make the NCAA tournament. It is not an easy thing to do. You have to have a full season of very good basketball to get in, or you have to have a magical run in your conference tournament to get in. I don't want that to change. And to your point,
the biggest snub of this year wasn't a major conference school. It was Indiana State. That's the team that everybody was like, how did they get left out? They should have been in this tournament. Then we had to watch a team like Virginia just play horrific basketball. And you're like, why is Virginia in this thing and Indiana State isn't? It drives me crazy that, you know, these major conferences are just trying to get more power to just make it easier for their teams to walk into these tournaments, to walk into the college football playoff. No, it needs to still be a special thing. It has to be earned. You don't need to take that away from the NCAA tournament. It's great as it is right now. It's one of the best things in sports going. It's probably number two behind the Super Bowl for me. It's probably Super Bowl and then NCAA tournament as my favorite sporting events every single year. I do not understand the want to change this thing, to expand this thing. It's only to give conferences more money and more power, and I'm just fully against that. I understand that that's the reasoning, but I'm fully against it.
Yes, it's just I don't need a watered-down product.
No,
I don't need
not
to continue to water it down. And then it should be special. If you have 96 teams in, it's just not as special.
It's not special at all. If you have 96, that's crazy.
And I know the NIT's already hurt, but then you'd hurt the NIT even further. It's just, it's frustrating the paths we go down to just make more money and to feed our own self-interest.
Here's how special the NCAA tournament can be. Today, right now, Greg Campy is at the podium, and he's being interviewed, and he just said that Their university website crashed, and honest to God, we sold $8,000 in T-shirts to Louisville fans. That is why the NCAA's tournament is special. Louisville fans are celebrating the Kentucky loss in a major fashion today, and now everybody now understands and knows who Oakland basketball is, the Oakland Grizzlies. Their lives are going to be changed forever because of the moment that they got last night in that game. And it's just, I don't want to take that pageantry away from this tournament. And if you expand it to 96 teams, we will get less and less opportunities for something like this to happen. It's just, I don't know, it's the Cinderellas and these smaller schools getting in. If you're going to expand, do it so that more smaller schools can get in, not so the major ones can get in.
Right. And, like, I think the argument, too, from Greg Sankey's side would be, you know, the ratings would be better if you had, you know, power conference versus power conference. Instead, let's just, for the sake of argument, talk about that Kentucky game. If it was instead of Oakland, it was Iowa, Kentucky versus Iowa, you'd probably make the argument you'd get better ratings. I think the ratings are just fine as is. People tuned into that game. People showed up to that game. People were cheering loud for the upset. You take that pageantry, that part of the NCAA tournament away when you have less and less games like that and you add power conference teams in. I just don't know if the appeal is what he really thinks it is from a TV rating standpoint if you just add more middle of the pack power conference teams. But we're going to expand, in my opinion, just based on all the talk we're having here. It's going to happen. I disagree with it, but there are really bad ideas, and I think that would be the 96 team field, and there are better ideas like Fran Fraschilla put out there.
Yeah, if they're going
just
to expand,
four more teams,
do the Fraschilla one.
Do a first eight instead of a first
I do
four,
like pushing
whatever.
Back the portal.
Yeah, I do like that.
That part of it's nice.
Well, you need, I mean, and who was it? The other Dan Hurley mentioned it. We talked about that yesterday. You need to push back the portal. We're distracting from the actual tournament going on. And a lot of these teams that are in the tournament right this second are going to be operating at a disadvantage when they get done with the tournament and then ultimately have to deal with all their portal, all the portaling this offseason. And also, it may distract them while they're playing in it because they do have to do some recruiting while they're trying to game plan for that next game in the NCAA tournament. And that is a very frustrating reality of the situation, and I do agree with Fran on that point, no doubt. Now, on the Tigers front, Tiger basketball, we know Jonathan Pierre has already gotten into the portal. We know about that, and that in itself was frustrating. But today, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like this is some massive entry to the portal, but Jalen Young got in the transfer portal after 1 year coming over from UCF. He only averaged like 2 points a game. I thought he was solid at the beginning of the season. He went through an ankle injury and never was the same, never really got his feet back under him, but he's back in the portal. And now when we look at who is really eligible to return, it's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller by the day, and you never know what else is going to happen. The four scholarship players that are available to return, Nick Jourdain already said he's going to come back. David Jones is eligible, but we're going to have to see what it looks like when he tests the waters. What is he going to do with the pro career? We've discussed that at length. Ashton Hardaway, of course, is the other one, and then Carl Sheriffont. And we'll see what Carl Sheriffont thinks. I thought he played good minutes when he was here. If he comes back, I feel better. That would be a nice addition to next year's team. But we'll see how he feels. I mean, I think his status at this particular moment is up in the air. And then the other eligible ones are the walk-ons, Joe Cooper and Noah Stansberry. It's going to be a completely new roster next year, and you just have to accept that fact. And when it comes down to how Penny's going to recruit it, he's got to recruit it with defense in mind. He did not do that this year, and that's why this team ultimately faltered. He wants to play one way, and that's with a defense-first attitude, getting up and down the floor. This team could not handle that. He needs to find guys in the portal that can do that, and he needs to find recruits in high school that can do that. But this is going to be a brand-new team. They just cycle them in, cycle them out. For the time being, that's what it looks like it is going to be. I would be very happy just looking at, how Penny recruits. I'd be very happy if he finds some guys in the transfer portal that have a couple years of eligibility left.
Yes.
Where you can build some continuity and build the program and build your pillars and have guys you can rely upon, and you just don't just rent guys like you did this year. But we'll see. I mean, I hope he figures it out. But he usually finds guys. Like, there's no question about it. Like, I don't have to hope that he's going to find guys and get guys to commit here. But it's got to be the right guys, high character, defensive-minded guys that want to do the dirty work, or you could have a similar situation this year.
Yeah, I think the lessons learned from this season is you need to find players that have the mindset that fits your system. If you want defensive-minded players, go get the defensive-minded players. We all, I think we all just learned a lesson from this season. But another big lesson to be learned is you need to find guys that you can start building a foundation of a program with that you know will be here not just this next season, but can be here for the next few years, because you need that foundation of guys. Go look at the most successful teams in college basketball. They're littered with those guys. They are littered with those guys. And Penny Hardaway's most successful team so far, the one that we thought was going to be the most successful team last year with Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams, was the combination of guys that came in through the transfer portal and guys who had been here for a few years. And that's why you saw the success that you did.
Yes, and also less drama with that team.
Far less drama.
Sort of the biggest thing. And that goes to the high character conversation. You just have to find guys that you can trust that are not going to be a nuisance or a problem. And I think they had too many of those guys this year. I think that much was very clear. Now, as far as the tournament right now, Yale and Auburn are battling it out. They just started the second half, 17-18 left in the game. And Auburn is up by one, 43-42. Florida and Colorado, it is 50-50. We're about to tip off the third game here in Memphis. It'll be A&M versus Nebraska. Hopefully, the fans at FedEx Forum can get a damn good game. I mean, so far today, it has been 77-56. Clemson beats New Mexico, and then what was the early game? That was the Baylor game, if I'm not mistaken, or who was it?
I think it was the Baylor game.
It was the Baylor game, 92-67. I hope the 8-9 matchup can get them there, but let's hope for a damn good game for the fans that actually bought tickets, because that would be very disappointing if you had a bunch of 20-point wins.
You don't expect Houston and Longwood to be close?
No, I don't. I do not, but hey. Crazier things have happened.
That is true. Yeah. Hey, Oakland just beat Kentucky.
Yeah. Now say goodbye to busted brags, because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tournament. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's GABEK. Again, GABEK. And bet on college hoops until they cut down the Nets. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Hour number two is on the way on this beautiful Friday. And you know how we open up hour number two. That's Jeff Calkins. He's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.